Should we take a whack at it? We are reading today pericopes for first Sunday of Lent. Suddenly we have made the jump from Epiphany, past Transfiguration, into the Lenten season, ready or not. Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from the book of Genesis. What was mentioned to you in the bulletin was Genesis 2, 7 to 9, and 15 to 17, I think. Actually, I think the pericope of the day adds on also Genesis 3, 1 to 7. So it's a three-part selection. And I'm hoping we can go through all three parts, because they really do belong together. I think the last section of Genesis 3 section is the reason why it's there in Lent. And if we stop with just the first two, the Lenten connection is a little bit gone. Okay, the grammar is pretty much straightforward. A few things to point out, and you may have questions that occur. Genesis 2:7. Why yitzer Adonai Elohim eth ha'adam. The verb is yatzar, to form, to shape, to pat together into a whatever, a patty cake. And Yahweh, the Lord God, made ha'adam. Notice it does have here the different article. That is to say, it would not be the ordinary translation to translate this with the name Adam, as though it is a personal name. This is more of a generic term here. The Adam, the man, more in the sense of human than in the sense of male. The man, afar min ha'adama, dust from the ground. And it's very clear that Adam and Adama share the same root, and these two are used here, I think, very intentionally to emphasize the fact that the person that was made is made indeed dust from the ground, and part of his nature is tied to that dirt, that dust. Vayipach ba'apau nishmachayim, and he nafach, to breathe, to blow. He blew into his nostrils the breath of life. Vayehi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. And as a consequence, and here I think the wow consecutive carries more of a meaning than just simply chronological succession of events. As a consequence, therefore, the man, the human, became nefesh chaya. Chaya clearly is living, alive, and draws its life from the living breath that was conferred before. Nefesh is a word that is a very fluid word in Hebrew, and can refer to things all the way from simply breath to corpse. Almost two opposite things, two ends of a long spectrum. Nefesh, I think, in this context, however, is not best translated a living soul, more likely a living person, a living being, a living entity, something like that. There certainly is no emphasis here of soul over against body, or spirit over against, the non-tangible over against the tangible. All right, going on, unless there are questions. Vayita Adonai Elohim Gan va'eden mikethem, nata, to plant. And Yahweh God planted a garden in Eden. Doesn't really say grammatically the garden of Eden. A garden in Eden from the east. And it's a little bit, it's unexplained. From the east of what? Does it mean to the east? It's not followed up anywhere else. It's not made a point of, but it's so it's just kind of an orphan referent here. Vayasem sham eth ha'adam esher yatzar, seem to make, to put, and he put there the human whom he had made. Okay, put him in the garden, that is. Vayatzmach Adonai Elohim min ha'adama. And Yahweh God, this is hifil here from tzamach, to sprout, made to sprout, made to spring forth from the ground, the same ground that he used to make Adam, make the human. From that same ground, he made to spring forth kol eitz, every tree. Nechmad lamar'eh, chamad means to desire, desirous in appearance, desirous to the eye, to the appearance. Watov lama'akal, and good to the eating. Okay, good to look at, good to eat. Wa'etz hachayim b'thok hagan. And the tree of life in the middle of the garden. Wa'etz hada'ath tov wara. And also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, first section. Verses 10 through 14 go on to talk really about something different. It's the river that runs through the garden and the stones and so on. Not really intricately related with the section that we just had here. If you look down at the footnotes, you see absolutely no question, no difficulty at all in any of the Hebrew that's there. No alternate readings by versions or anything else. Any questions at all on that first section? All right. If not, go on to skip down to verse 15. Vayikach Adonai Elohim et ha'adam. And Yahweh God took the human. Vayanechehu began eden. Verb is nuach, to rest. This is a hifil with a pronominal suffix. And in the hifil, it can mean to make, to rest, or to put, to settle someone in a place. And he put him, or made him settle in, that is, the man, the human, settle in the Garden of Eden. The purpose comes in the next two words. Le'ovdach u'lashomrach, to avaz, to, that is, to serve it or to work it, and to care for it. All right? The two words have very different connotations, and both are equally important here. Vayetzav Adonai Elohim al ha'adam lemor. And Yahweh God commanded the human, saying, Mikol etz hagan, akol tokel, from every tree of the garden, here's an infinitive absolute with the imperfect, you may indeed eat. All right, it's an absolute command, an unconditional command. U me'etz hada'ath tovara. However, different use again of the while consecutive. It's an adversative relationship here. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lo thokal. This looks like the same kind of apodictic grammar that you have in the Ten Commandments. You shall in no way eat. Mimenu, sorry, I left off that word. From it. You shall not eat from it. Ki, because. Beyomakalaka, mimenu, moth tamuth. Again, in the day that of your eating from it, here's the infinitive absolute with the imperfect again, you shall indeed die. Okay, that's the second snippet. Any questions there? Again, you look at the footnotes, and there is nothing footnoted at all in this whole section. If not, then let's go to chapter 3. In some ways, chapter 2 is background only to chapter 3. Sets the context and provides the perspective for what happens here. Wahanachash haya arum. And the serpent. If you put the noun first, there's an element of emphasis that's there. Ordinarily, it's the verb that begins the sentence. And the serpent, there's a focus here on the serpent, was arum, crafty, wily. This is a word often used in wisdom literature to serve as the contrast to the wise person. Wise, the opposite of wise is not only stupid, but slimy, wily, crafty. And that's what the serpent was. Mikol chayav hasadeh. More than any creature, any living thing of the field, Esher asa Adonai Elohim, which God had made. Vayomer el ha'isha, and he said to the woman, Af ki amar Elohim, lo tho kalu mikol etz hagan. You notice from the footnote at af there that the suggestion is to add a hey interrogative there, which simply underlines the sense here. Af means indeed, surely, truly, and when you put that into the interrogative, it's a question of doubt. Did indeed, really, is it really the case that God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Watomer ha'isha el ha'nachash. The woman in retort, in answer, said to the serpent, Mipri etz hagan, no kale. From the fruit of the trees of the garden, we may indeed eat. Ooh. There's that same adversative use of the wow consecutive here. U mipri ha'etz esher b'thog hagan. It is, but, however, from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Amar Elohim lo tokalu mimenu, walo tig'u bo pen tamuthun. God said, God did say, you will not eat from it, and you may not touch it, lest you die. With the you die ending in a nun is an alternate form of the plural ending for the imperfect. All right. Verse 4. Vayomer hanachash el ha'isha. Serpent said to the woman, Lo moth tamuthun. There is the infinitive absolute linked to the imperfect. You shall indeed not die. You remember that the pronouncement was earlier, the same grammatical form, you shall indeed die. Here with the addition of the lo there, it says, you shall indeed not die. Ki. Because Yodea Elohim, God knows good and well. That's just added on there. Ki, Vayom Akalakem Mimenu, in the day of your eating from it, Wanif Kahu Enekem, your eyes will be opened. With ye them kedohim, and you will become as God. How as God? Yod etov wara, knowing good and evil. Vatera ha'isha, And the woman saw, ra'ah, to see, ki tov ha'etz, that the tree was good, lema'akal, to eat, waki ta'avehu, and to be desired, la'enayim, to her two eyes. It's the dual plural there. Wanachmad ha'etz, lahaskil. That's that word nechmad we had up above when the first description of all of these trees and so on was given, that it was desirous to inform. Here it is desirous, the tree is to be desired for its ability to make wise, sakal wise, the hifil, to make one wise. Watikach mipiryu, and she took from the fruit, watokal, watitain gam la ishah, imah, wayokal, and she ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The footnote suggests that an alternate tradition makes that he ate into a plural, they ate. All right, and verse 7. Watipa kachna eneshnehem, and the eyes of the two of them, of the pair, were opened indeed. Wayedu, and they knew, just like the Satan said they would, they knew. Ki erumim, that they were stark naked. Little different than the knowledge that the Satan had offered, you know, dangled in front of them. They found out they were stark naked. And I think the reason for, I shouldn't say the reason, it's clear that at a literary level, this word for naked, erumim, really echoes the arum that you had up above in verse 1 of 3. Arum, crafty, slimy, wily, the wiliness ended up simply in their nakedness. That was how wise they were. Wayithperu, aleta'ena, and they sowed for themselves a leaf of a fig. Wayasulahim chagoroth, and they made for themselves belt, loincloth, some kind of a crotch covering. All right. Any questions? Yeah. They went from this. Yeah. Well, they're in that out of paradise yet. I think there's some danger there in setting spirit flesh over against each other too radically here. I think the bigger before after contrast here is in what the wily one offered and what they ended up getting. They did indeed. He offered them the opportunity to know good and evil, and in a sense, they kind of found it out after it was too late to get back to where they were, you know, and they knew evil for the first time in their existence by experience. And that evil left them with a sense of nakedness, and later on when God came walking in the garden, it left them with a sense of such shame that they had to go hide themselves, and that had never happened before. So I think, in my sense, that's the twist that's being given here. Not a particular reason. It's just that grammatically, you don't ever put, in Hebrew, you don't put a definite article onto a proper name. The man, or the human. I think here, particularly before we have the creation of Eve, it's simply the human. Later on, when it says man, woman, a different Hebrew word is ordinarily used. The human. And you could almost, you know, you could capitalize that no big problem. I think there is a representational sense that's here. But the grammar doesn't really allow for using that as proper name. It would be like the Henry. In English, we don't do that either. It just doesn't, it just doesn't ring right. Close to time. Other questions? Yeah. It's a synonym for what particularly Isaiah and Jeremiah, to some extent, use as a descriptor of the evil that they face, namely those that are wise in their own eyes. They're good at what they do. They are really good. And because they're so good at it, they don't need God. Yeah, that's the shifty part. Other questions? All right? Yours.